Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
To the land. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name. Holy, all creation.
Good morning, and top of the morning to all our listeners. It is a lovely day that the Lord has made. We rejoice in it, and we are glad indeed. Holy, holy are you, Lord. We bless your name, we exalt your name. You alone are the reason for the season. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of yet another new day. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation of our souls. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to a relationship with yourself through your Son Jesus Christ. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit. Thank you for the things that we have been learning and teaching in the weeks gone by in our series on walking with the Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your word that is a change agent. We thank you because your word is a seed. We thank you because you grant those who have accepted your redemptive plan and our Lord Jesus Christ and capacity to understand the deep things of the Spirit. For this, Lord, we thank you. The privilege that is called today, the miracle of sleeping and waking, we thank you. For each and every one of our listeners out there listening, we bless your name. We ask that you be with them, you guide them through our session today, bring them to a place of understanding. I will ask that your Spirit will be in abundance to see us through. All this we ask of you, and we just thank you. As always, we remember those who for one reason or the other cannot be with us today. Lord, I pray wherever they are, whatever it is their needs are, I pray that you meet them at the point of their needs. Those that need help from the sanctuary, need help from you, need help to restore things, to heal, to be delivered, whatever the needs may be. I pray, Lord, that you make room for them. All this we ask of you, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people. Welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. You're tuned into Radio Africana. It's a pleasure, as always, to be with you. Okay, we're trying to see if we can carry on with the series we've been working, Walking with the Lord. And we have really taken a long journey into the book of Romans to really come to a place of understanding, you know, the things that are before us. And I think the recent weeks we're looking at, you know, the fact that there's some challenges, okay, being called. All right, let's look at my notes so I get it right. Dealing with conflicts, contradictions of being called. So you know you are called. You know you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You know that there is a calling upon your life. There's some things that the Lord has graced you, anointed you to carry out. And yet we have a lot of struggles. We have a lot of challenges. And certain truths we say are not taught, or when they are taught, we can't apply ourselves, you know. So because of those challenges, we find that we are struggling. We may get sometimes frustrated, but the Bible is not without, you know, a solution for us. And so if we just spend time to be still in His presence, there's a lot that the Lord can help us with, grant us insight and illumination so that we can, you know, begin to make tracks. In the light of that, just a couple of things before today's session I was pondering on. And in my notes here, I have something that just very quickly, but that's what dropped in my spirit. The word of God not applied is God not experienced. The word of God not applied is God not experienced. So the Lord is pulling us into a relationship so that we can, you know, have an experiential knowledge of His personality, an experiential knowledge of what He's doing every time we stand in His presence. And so it starts with the word of God. The word of God not applied is God not experience. So there are certain realities we read about. I think I mentioned this in a different format. Maybe you hear somebody testify. And I kept saying, for you to arrive at that destination and to take delivery of a testimony, you must know what they knew. You must have engaged in what they engaged with. You must learn to apply yourself to be able to take delivery of that end result, which is a testimony, a miracle, things turning around, you know, rapid change, whatever that might be. And so not understanding, you know, the Word of God and how that leads us into experiencing God and experiential knowledge of who He is a big challenge. So when we're talking about the struggles, the challenge, that is one big challenge, okay? And then the Bible helps us to understand further this from another dimension. It says the carnal mind is not able to understand spiritual things. So again, without the help of the Spirit, as a carnal mind coming in contact with the Word of God, it's not something the carnal mind can understand. The carnal mind is not able to understand spiritual things. And again, in my notes, it says the things of the Spirit of God, spiritual realities. So there's a lot that without the Word of God, without the enablement that only God can give, we find certain realities, certain outcomes, certain end goals constantly eluding us. Now, this is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. The carnal mind is not able to understand spiritual things. And so when we look at our journey, you know, into understanding certain things about the sinful nature, the opportunity we have as people bankrupt with that nature, okay? You know, mankind, humanity was bankrupt without a savior. In other words, for us to understand spiritual things, to navigate, to be able to apply ourselves so that we can have not just experiential knowledge of God, but experience spiritual realities, you can begin to see where that lines up with what we have been studying. So we need insight into the things that we've been talking about, you know, and I think just using that to really join some of the gaps that any of our listeners out there may have. So the Word of God not applied is God not experienced. The Word of God that we don't take in as a seed, right, will not produce the outcome that the seed will normally have as its harvest, you know, at the end. So you're not planting the right seed, in this case the Word of God, you're not engaging with it properly, you don't have an understanding of the process, then whatever the Word of God promises as the outcome, it's not going to be your reality, because you don't understand that that's the seed you must first plant, and it's what you must do with the seed to be able to arrive at the outcome. So I hope that's really trying to throw some light on some of the things we've been discussing. So very important scriptures there. So the scripture makes it very clear. So the way I want us to understand that, by design, the carnal man, the sinful man, in a sinful nature, cannot understand spiritual things, spiritual realities, the Spirit of God, and you know, a lot of things in that spiritual realm. Okay, so like I said, man in that sinful nature was bankrupt without a savior. Hence, the redemptive plan of God becomes a ticket to come into a place of understanding of these spiritual things, being enabled. So as many as believed in him, he gave them power to become sons of God. Okay, so by believing in him, by accepting Jesus Christ, by accepting that ticket, okay, we have been enabled and given the power to become. Note, it's power to become. So there's a process for you to become. We've talked about maturity. We've talked about growing in the knowledge of him. We're growing into the stature of the fullness of the Son of God. So it is definitely a process that begins with the entrance of the Word. The Bible says the entrance of the Word is what brings light. It's what brings understanding, and it brings illumination, even to the simple. The Word of God is that change agent to bring understanding, to bring light, and to bring, you know, insight into, you know, what may not be apparent in the normal nature. Just recapping also, we talked about They need to understand that sinful nature, which I've just emphasized a few minutes ago. Also, the fact that there is the power of sin, which we'll look at a little bit in our notes today to some degree. And there's the presence of sin. So we need to understand there is the power of sin, which has been broken, but there's the presence of sin. So we still live in a sinful world. Okay, and then we need to know that we've been liberated from the grip, from captivity, and we're able to live a life which God has declared us righteous. So he declared us righteous. We can live as the righteous. The righteous are able to understand the spiritual word of God, understand this spiritual seed. They have a heart that has been touched and graced by God, okay, to receive that word, to respond to it, to come to a point of understanding, okay, what it is that the word is teaching and communicating. Without that touch, without that help, without that enabling grace, man is bankrupt without a savior. Man is bankrupt and completely blindfolded to this realm. So I just wanted to drop those few points at the beginning of our session today. So we've been coming down a long journey, and I remember giving us a couple of scriptures. We looked in Romans 5 last week in more detail, and before that we had a couple of other scriptures we're looking at, you know, to give us some insight. We looked at Ephesians, Romans 5, I remember talk about 20 and 21, but we started from way early. So we had Romans 5, we started early in the verse all the way to 21. We looked at Romans chapter 4, verses 7, and Romans chapter 7, I beg your pardon, verses 4 and 6, and then Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. All right, our scriptures just helping us to amplify what it is we've been talking about and give us some deeper understanding. We read mention of Romans chapter 6 verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, right? For you are not longer under the law but under grace. So sin will not have dominion over you, according to Romans chapter 6 verse 14, because you're not under the law, okay, but you're under the influence of grace, a superior law. All right, that's a fact, but you need to understand how you have been enabled. You need to understand how to engage the word of God. You need to understand how to align yourself to take it in, to be still, to meditate, to come to an understanding of what is available to you as a child of God. So these are the things we have been looking at in some detail, right? And then we had those key scriptures, like I said, Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 21 or so, Romans chapter 7 4 and verse 6, then we had Galatians chapter 2 and verses 19. Okay, Galatians 2 verse 19. All right, so moving on, we stopped at a couple of other scriptures that helped us. We looked into Galatians 2, we opened it up from 17 to 21. Let's just look at it. It says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, this is Galatians 2, 17 to 21. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Okay. Is therefore Christ and the minister of sin? Not at all. Okay. So even while we're justified by Christ, we find ourselves as sinners. That's our status. Does that mean that Christ is the minister of sin? Not at all. God forbid. Verse 18 says, for if I build again the things which I destroy. So there's some things that we have to get rid of. We can't be building with that. You can't be using the same method and make myself a transgressor. So to do the same old thing, the same old habits, and expect a different result, you become a transgressor of the law that you're under. It says, for I through the law, I'm dead to the law. So like we mentioned, that one law liberates you from a previous law. So you're dead to the law of sin and death, but you've come alive to the law of, you know, the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Okay, so nevertheless I live, this is the key point, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in Christ, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So we must walk in line so that we're not frustrating the grace of God. We cannot be working at cross purposes with the grace of God. We cannot be working at cross purposes with that which has been sent to enable and to move us in the direction of righteousness. It says, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we know that this righteousness came by God's redemptive plan. It came through our accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Okay, so we had that. Very good there. Then we went on to talk about Romans chapter 8 verse 2 and I think verse 12. Verse 2 says, because we belong to Jesus, and this is what I mentioned earlier, the power of the life-giving Spirit has set us free from the power of sin that leads to death. So this redemptive plan, this accepting Jesus Christ, this being influenced and touched by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, has set us free from the power of sin. So the power of sin is being destroyed. So we get that very clear. Okay, and that was why he came, to destroy the power of sin, to liberate us, to bring men into the liberty of the sons of God. To as many as believe, he gave power to become sons of God. Right, and verse Romans 8:12 says, we are no longer obligated to do what our spiritual nature urges us to do. So we just had these scriptures to really help us, and then we looked at it in a couple of different versions. So the Amplified Classic says, so brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. Right, we are not obligated to our carnal nature. So the carnal nature has a carnal mind, and that carnal mind cannot understand spiritual things. We're not obligated to that nature. We're not obligated to that mind. But the Bible says that we need to believe by faith in the one who is our Savior, and he will take us through. He's the one that will enable us. He's the one that anoints us. Okay, so he lets us read that again. So brethren, we are debtors, not, he said, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal mind, our carnal nature, to live a life ruled by the standards set by the dictates of the flesh. So you have been delivered from the power of sin, okay, by virtue of your accepting Jesus Christ, by the grace of God. His enabling grace, and he is the one that enables us. So we were, like all in the sinful nature, carnal men that could not understand spiritual things, like I explained earlier. But by the grace of God, we have been declared the righteousness of God. We've received the impartation of the grace of God that enables us to do what we were not able to achieve and do under the law. So there's enablement, but we need to understand within this new law that we operate, okay, how we agree, come in line with the word of God, with what God is doing, so that we can become, you know, the sons of God. We can bring forth fruits that are acceptable and that will abide. And then we looked at Romans 6:9. So Paul explains that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more to death. Okay, no longer has death no longer has dominion over him. So we saw that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9. All right, in the same way, count yourself, okay, dead to sin and alive to God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. All right, so we had all of these scriptures. Then we came down to Acts chapter 17:28. In him we live, it's in him that we move. Okay, it's in him that we have our being, for we are also his offspring. So the word comes in and is going to give birth to offsprings, to sons of God. The word is a seed. It gives birth to offsprings. You see this example in same Acts 17:28 in the Amplified Classic. I read it again. For in him we live, we move, and have our being, as even some of you, it's in brackets, own poets have said, we are also his offering, his offsprings. Okay, so very important. The New Living Translation puts it this way: in him we live and move and exist, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So, lovely people, there's a seed, there's a planting, and there's an outcome, there's a harvest. You become offspring, you become sons of God by virtue of this process. Now, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his son, his only son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. So this is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. All right, so through the death of Jesus Christ, the believer has died, right? He's now, his life is now hidden in Christ. We can see this in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. So our status now is that through the death of Jesus, the believer has died, okay, to the influence of the old law, the old nature, and his life is now hidden in Christ, in God, with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. So we are new creatures, we're new creations in Christ. The old life of sin under the law is gone. The new life of spiritual freedom under God's grace has begun. We see this 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, you know, and that says that if we're truly dead, then we are free from sin's influence. So that's what the scripture is. So the penalty of sin has been paid, and we no longer must answer to sin's dominion over us. I pray the Lord give us understanding of these things. All right, so that's just a little long recap, but taking us up to where we are and looking at Colossians chapter 3 verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Now, God counts dead to sin because of their identification with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Let's look at that. God counts Christians dead to sin because of their identification with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So he became our ransom. He paid the price. He fulfilled, you know, the requirements of God's justice. And so we are counted as dead through our identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back and see what we can cover in the next half of our session here. See you on the other side of the break. Good morning. Yes, if you're just joining us, very mellow song there. You know, I love you, Lord. Father, we just love you so much. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how far you brought us. Very apt for where we are. So, we're moving on in understanding the nature of sin, the challenges we face, the struggles, you know, what has been done, what has been made available, particularly the issue of choice. And I want to read a couple of things here, but before I read that, I just want to take us to a scripture. It's Joshua 24 and verses 14 to 15. Joshua 24 verses 14 to 15. Now, in this passage where you can read the bulk of it in your own time, you know, this is where Joshua tells the Israelites to serve the Lord with sincerity and faithfulness, and to get rid of the foreign gods their ancestors worshipped. He gives them a choice: either serve the gods of the past or the gods of the Amorites, or they can choose to serve the Lord. And the passage famously concludes with Joshua's declaration, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Okay, so serving the Lord in the passage here urges a wholehearted commitment to God, okay, instructing them to fear Him and to serve Him, you know, with sincerity and faithfulness, and to reject all the false gods, okay, and put away the idols and the ancestors they served beyond the Euphrates River. And, you know, so it was a big what can I call it now? They had a choice to make, basically. Right now, that's so apt with where we're at. We're talking about the nature of sin, the power of sin, okay, the fact that as carnal men we cannot understand spiritual things, but God has put a redemptive plan. His Son has come, and through our faith and belief in His Son, we can become the righteousness of God, we can become offsprings of God, we can become children of God. And this is what we need to understand. But just like Joshua was warning them, you have to recognize what is behind. You have to recognize what it is you're dead to. You have to put away those things. It's not a mixture, it's a choice. You draw the line, you get rid of those old things. And when the Bible says you're dead to them, dead men don't feel. So you should not be responding to what you're supposed to be dead to. Now, what does that mean? You hear a song from the past, hello, and then we begin to oscillate. Are you dead? Dead men don't feel. You get some promptings of the past, and then you're oscillating in that direction. So these are the things you have to become sensitive to, and really understand that if you're going to take it, the word of His, the seed of His word, and come that offspring, that child of God, you must die to certain things. So you will hear the Bible talk about we must die daily. There's a lot to die to. So there has to be a shift, there has to be a change, you know. And so we're, you know, looking at the scriptures from last week into now. It says counting yourself dead to sin. What does it mean? Do not copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Okay, we cannot copy the behavior and the customs of this world. The scripture gives us a clear set of instructions. It gives us adequate teaching on how we are to conduct ourselves. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So there's this crossroads. We have a choice to make. The Lord wants to change us by changing the way we think. The New Living Translation of Romans 12 verse 2 says, "Then you will learn to know God's will for you." So if you yield to His methodology, you yield to His process, it says, "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect." That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 from the New Living Translation. Okay, so There's a clear demarcation, people. There's a choice we have to make, just like Joshua told the Israelites, they have to make a choice. Right. Now, the same Romans chapter 12, let's look at verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So you presenting your body is a living sacrifice, all right, holy, acceptable, and pleasing to God. Now, which is your reasonable service? It's just a reasonable thing to do when we understand where we're coming from, when we understand what has been done for us, and that He's the one who has granted us His enabling grace. He has empowered us to become sons, to become offsprings by virtue of His own process. Okay, so whereas I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you need to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So, taking my time just to emphasize the world that we're in, the sinful world, if we're going to yield to God's process and become offsprings and become sons of God, there must be a turning away. There must become dead to the old way of thinking, the old behaviors, just like Joshua warned the Israelites. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You prove, you see, so you're reading it first, but with time, I think I mentioned this last week, if you continue therein, you will come to know the truth. We talked about, I think it was John chapter 8, 31 and 32, you know, to them that believe, it says, if you continue in what He's asked you to do, you will come to a point in your journey where you'll know the will of God. You'll come to know the truth. You come to understand these principles and what it is they offer as an outcome. It will be what you can take delivery of. So it's not an instantaneous thing. There's a choice that needs to be made. You're going through a process. You yield, you align. And this is so very important, primarily because of how we have been told things and how we've been taught right from our formative years. This is so important, this transition. We have great emphasis on head knowledge. In the kingdom, what really matters is you developing a relationship with a personality that is the truth Himself, and daily, step by step, progressing and coming up in your walk into experiential knowledge of the truth. Okay? It's very important, because how we were raised, how we were taught in our formative years, the emphasis was primarily on head knowledge. In the kingdom, what really matters is you developing a relationship with a personality that is the truth Himself, and daily, step by step, progressing and coming up in your walk. So you walk with Him, you walk with the Lord into experiential knowledge of the truth. It is in obedience to His word and walking the path prescribed that you will come to learn and know God's will for your lives. I pray the Lord grant us understanding of these things in Jesus' name. Right, so John 8:31, like I mentioned earlier, just recap. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, all right, then are you My disciples indeed. So that's the path, the response, the choice of true disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So we are taking this journey to come to an understanding of the truth, so that we can walk in the reality of the, you know, life of God, spiritual realities that the Bible talks about. Now, Romans chapter 6, 12 to 13 says this: Paul firmly cautions believers to make a clean break, okay, from their old sinful ways of living, just like Joshua did. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. This is Romans 6, we're looking at 12 to 13. But do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil. Some versions will say, do not allow any part of your members become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely, present yourselves completely, okay? For you are dead, you were dead, but now you have new life. So we use our whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. So this is the New Living Translation of Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 13. So Peter affirms that Jesus carried our sins in his body and on the cross, so that we could be dead to sin's dominions or dominance and live, okay, to do what is right for God's glory. We see this documented in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. So Peter affirms that Christ carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin's dominance or dominion and live, right, to do what is right for God's glory. So there's a clear shift, and these scriptures are helping us through our study to understand that shift. Okay, so a lot of people are, you know, not having this properly taught, or they're not having it understood, and so you're trying to, in your own strength, as if the carnal mind can understand spiritual things. No, you have to come into relationship with Jesus Christ, and he enables you, he helps you, he anoints you, he empowers you. Enablement, what you were not able to do on your own, he empowers and enables you to live right. As long as you're still doing it in your strength, you'll always sing the story that we found in Romans chapter 7. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I know what is right, but when it comes to doing it, I'm not able to do it. That enablement is not a capacity the carnal mind or carnal man has an ability. No, except you are graced and anointed by God, you cannot live the righteous life. You cannot understand spiritual things. This is an enablement given to those who've come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what he does through his grace, his benevolence towards us. I pray the Lord gives us understanding in Jesus' name. So, he says, sin shall not have dominion over you when you offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship, not the way that they used to worship before. I don't know how many people still see born again believers, and in fact, there are some of them, their worship is more than the people that are very traditionalist. It's not on at all. And I pray the Lord will help us. So before salvation, we lived under the law. We understand that sin was our master, because adhering to legalistic rules could not give us the power to resist sin. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law could be fulfilled, fully satisfied for us. So there's just requirements of the law, so that those requirements were fulfilled by the sacrifice of his son. We no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. We can see this in Romans chapter 8, verses 3 to 4. Romans chapter 8, verses 3 to 4. So, you know, the prescribed way has been laid out. There's a lot of the scriptures I've shared with you that make you understand what the condition was before we had an encounter with Jesus, what our nature was before we had an encounter with Jesus, what our habits and thoughts were before we gave our life to Christ. Some of the traditional things like worshiping, just like Joshua was talking to the Israelites, they need to be forsaken. You need to be dead to those things. You cannot be thinking like that. You cannot be acting like that. You cannot be behaving. You must be dead to those things and become alive to the instructions of the Word of God, to become alive to the patterns prescribed by the Word of God. And like as we said, if you continue in this path, if you continue obeying these instructions, you will ultimately down the line come to a place where you've come to know not just the truth in the Word, but the personality that you are relating with. You will begin to see how you walk with him and how he brings the things that have been, you know, spoken about in the scriptures to pass in your life, you know, and you can begin to see the difference. But you cannot mix and match. That has to be very well defined here. Of course, there's going to be, you know, discipline issues. There's going to have to be, you know, a cutting off from certain ways. You know, the things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to like, I don't like them anymore. The ways I used to live, I don't live that way anymore. The life I now live, and each one of us should live, is in, you know, relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the Word of God, you know, meditating. Be still and know. So you have to be still. You have to calm all the noise. You need to make time to meditate. This Word of God, when you take time with the Word of God, it's like a seed. If you give it time, if you nurture it, if you meditate upon it, it'll take root in your heart and it'll begin to germinate. And the result is that you can generate, you can cultivate it, and you can be able to, at the end of time, have an anticipation that you will bear forth fruits of righteousness. You only plant the seed of God's word, the seed of righteousness, to be able to bring forth the life of righteousness, to bring forth the life of the Spirit, to bring forth that which has been promised and prophetically declared as your portion in the scripture by going down the prescribed routes. The change agent is God's word. The seed for that harvest is God's word. The prescribed way is illustrated clearly in the Word of God. I pray that the Lord give us understanding of these things and help us to really apply ourselves. Like I said at the beginning of today's session, the Word of God not applied is God not experienced. If you want to walk into that experiential reality, that spiritual reality of knowing the personality that is the truth, of taking delivery of his life at work in you, through you, and to your world, the Word of God is an absolute diet. The Word of God is the absolute beginning. The Word of God is God's change agent. And so you must understand how he uses it to accomplish his end goal, that you will become vessels that not just know the truth, not just have an experiential knowledge, but you also have a working relationship with the personality that's the truth, and you'll be able to walk into the reality of that spiritual life. Of course, that spiritual life has its own attendant benefits. It has its own proofs. And like I said, if your desire is a breakthrough, if your desire is to testify, if your desire is to manifest the miracles, the things the Bible talks about, that type of life, then your starting point is the Word of God. The prescribed way is the way you walk with Him. You walk in tandem. You walk in a relationship with Him. You follow His instructions. You're obedient. You're consistent. If you continue as a disciple, you will come to know the truth, and that truth is what will set you free. You know, I pray we just grasp this understanding. Father, we thank you for our session today. Thank you for how you have helped us. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Truly, there's no one like you. You know, before we were conceived in our mother's womb, the Bible says you knew us. You ordained a plan for our life, and you have declared who we are in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that these will not just be letters in the book, in the Bible, but they will come alive. You know, people can really engage with the personality of the truth and be able to engage with the spiritual life that is that for an inheritance for each and every one of your children. I pray, Lord, that you will help, you know, all our listeners to take this word in. Let it release grace. Let it anoint them. Let it empower them. Let it enable them to have an understanding of these spiritual truths. And at the end of it, Lord, let your name alone be exalted for the things that only you could have done in their lives. I pray they honor you. I pray they exalt you. I pray all their worship and adoration is directed towards you. And the things that make you God in their life, that you alone will show yourself strong, the mighty God in the midst of his people. Lovely people, till we meet again, same time on this same channel. It's been a lovely, lovely time sharing with you. I pray you've been blessed. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and bye for now.
Cover me. your Africana.
Nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you.
Presence, Lord.